everyone, and welcome. I'm Megan Kellett, the Associate Site Editor for SearchStorage.com. I'm here today with Ashish Nadkarni, a Senior Analyst and Consultant at the Tanasia Group, to talk about automated storage tiering. Hi, Ashish, and thanks for being here with me today.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Great. So, Ashish, my first question is, auto-tiering and sublime tiering are becoming more popular technologies. So are you guaranteed great storage efficiency with auto-tiering?
There are no guarantees. This is storage. It's just a promise from the vendors that auto-tiering is one of the ways to improve storage efficiency in the long term and reduce storage costs. The premise for automated tiering is the ability to right-size the storage infrastructure, making it more agile and cost-efficient in the long term.
Okay, so let's say you're getting started on a new auto-tiering project. Name the first two things that you would need to do.
Well, the first, most important thing you have to consider when going with auto-tiering is to figure out the cost delta between an auto-tiered environment versus a manually tiered solution. So when you look at an auto-tiered solution, you're looking at the licensing costs and any other, you know, hardware and software potentially that goes into that whole solution. And if you're doing tiering in a manual fashion, then you're looking at resources, as in people resources and the extra number of hours that would go in there for manual tiering to come about being efficient. So that's the sort of the math that you have to do and figure out if it is viable in the long run or not. Then once you've figured out that you are going in for an auto-tiering environment, then you need to identify and group your applications into ones that are absolutely mission critical, and you probably want to be a little more shy to putting them on auto-tiering on day one. And then the other non-mission critical applications would sort of go into the second bucket. And when you do want to start off, you'd probably want to start off with these non-mission critical applications. What you need to do with these buckets is to really look at their performance profiles and to figure out whether they are consistently high performance or they have certain periods of time when they are high performance and they're relatively low performance at other times. And then, you know, lastly, you need to make sure you have a plan B, and you do put something into an auto-tiered environment and it doesn't perform really, then you need to have a backup plan of sorts to sort of go with the sort of the traditional approach. Now, so most customers, if they are going in for a brand new greenfield environment, I would caution them against putting everything into an auto-tiered environment. Sort of have a sort of a more traditional environment as a backup plan.
Okay. And Ashish, can you tell us the best way to determine which data should be manually tiered versus automatically?
So the best way to really determine that is to profile every application. You know, there used to be a sort of a cliche in the storage industry that applications, you know, you can't really do any tiering unless you understand, you know, the profile of these applications. It's still true with auto tiering. It's not like you can just forget about these. In fact, it's even more because now you're leaving the tiering function, or you're putting the faith in the in the storage framework to do the tiering. So you need to profile every application in terms of its IOPS and throughput requirements and its response times, and to check to see if, like I said before, if it really consistently requires high throughput or high bandwidth or high or low response time. So, you know, some applications in fact require sub millisecond response time, or if they are, you know, burst in nature, where, you know, certain times of the day they are very active and then other times they are not, and then if it is very highly latency sensitive at any time of the day. So for example, if you are on a you're doing some kind of an OLTP application that is highly latency sensitive at every time of the day, then you probably want to shy away from putting it on some kind of an auto-tiered function, because it will constantly hog the tier zero of that tier, because at any given time it is really it needs that kind of performance. The bottom line is that you need to search for exceptions, and the exceptions will decide how much you're going to be able to do auto versus manual I think for the vast majority of the applications, they'll just work. They'll work fine in an auto-tiered environment. But for the exceptions, those are the ones you need to be careful about.
Right. Now, how concerned should storage pros be with assigning too much control to their automated tiering?
I mean, in this day and age, not very, I would say. It's not feasible to do everything manually. Budgets are being constantly stretched. Resources are in short supply. You know, you can't really do everything in a manual fashion, especially as your environment grows. There are no guarantees that manual tiering, I mean, there's, at the end of the day, you know, auto tiering is really there to replace the manual labor. You can't have guarantees that manual tiering is cheaper and more efficient, even if you have a storage pro at the helm, because at the end of the day, there's only so many hours you can dedicate in a day to doing this. And we know that applications can't be static in nature. They're fairly dynamic in nature in these days. And so you would want to go with automated tiering in a cautiously optimistic manner. Unless someone is in a position to prove that manual tiering is cheaper and more efficient in the long run by way of either mathematical models or by way of other systems in place, like a tiering model or a framework in place in the company, I would say you want to be cautiously optimistic and not really worry about auto-tiering having too much control over the environment.
Okay. Now, along those same lines, are there any environments that simply aren't suited for auto-tiering?
So the auto-tiering is still up and coming, and it's definitely got a long way to go before it is considered to be, a mainstay in every environment. Anything vendors would like it to be very much the case soon. Although at this point, the way I would approach auto-tiering is that applications that constantly require sub-millisecond response times, high bandwidth, are very latency sensitive, would not be good candidates for an auto-tiered environment. And then the reason, like I mentioned before, is that the whole premise of auto-tiering is that you have a relatively small tier zero, which is your buffer, and it moves your data into that tier as and when the application requires high performance during certain times of the day. But if your application is constantly hogging that tier, then effectively it can't be tiered in an optimal manner. So those are the applications that you would probably want to, or environments that you can't or put in an auto-tiered environment. Now, I will say that when people talk about high-performance applications, they're really talking about that at a high, 30,000 foot level. If you look at it at a 1,000 foot level, you will find components of the applications that are not that high performance. It's only certain components that need a lot of performance requirements. And so what you can do in those situations is, because sublearn tiering is now becoming popular, it can facilitate elevating or promoting the high performance components in a selective manner, and leaving the not so high performance components on the lower tiers.
Okay, and Ashish, let's briefly talk about sublearn tiering. Why are we hearing this phrase so much right now, and what should storage pros know about it?
So the reason why people are hearing about sublearn tiering is because it seems to be the way in which, or it definitely seems to be the way in which storage infrastructure is headed towards. So in a traditional model, auto-tiering was always the lowest construct of data in an auto-tiered environment. It would move the data at the entire volume level, or the LUN level as we know it. If a volume had a hotspot somewhere in that volume, even if that volume had other places that were relatively low access, the entire volume would be moved to a faster tier and back. That process was often slow, it was cumbersome, and largely inefficient, and so it didn't quite get that much of, it didn't attract a lot of customers in that sense. But these days, with improved technology, better algorithms, faster compute resources, you can actually take the data and chunk it up. You can sort of, other words, split it into smaller chunks and move it from one tier to another tier in those smaller units. So that process is more efficient and faster than the traditional approach, as only the hotspot. So if your hotspot sits on two or three chunks, and those chunks could be anywhere from 760K to meg or even lower in some cases, you're only moving those chunks back and forth and not really the entire volume. So what storage pros need to know is that the lowest unit of storage now is no longer a volume or a LUN. It's really a chunk, and you will find that most storage systems now will be talking in terms of chunks of data and not really LUNs or volumes of data. And eventually, that will be the system through which people will talk about tiering. But as of now, the chunking system is different for every vendor or every solution out there. It's not uniformly accepted across all the platforms.
Okay, thank you for all those answers, Ashish.
My pleasure.
And for more information on automated storage tiering, you can visit searchstorage.com.